Information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Women's Reproductive Rights Now on Sunday, October 14th from 3 to 6 p.m. at Sunnyside Community House, located at 3520 Southeast Yamhill Street in Portland. Women's Reproductive Rights Now is an educational event to support activists fighting for reproductive rights. Speakers include Judith Arcana, Dr. Patricia Kohlberg, Reverend Emily Champagne, and Sally Castillo of Planned Parenthood. There will also be videos, tabling, food, and more. Again, that's Women's Reproductive Rights Now on Sunday, October 14th from 3 to 6 p.m. at the Sunnyside Community House in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO hosts a monthly film series at the Clinton Street Theater called KBOO at the Clinton. This month, on Thursday, October 11th at 7 p.m., we'll celebrate Dia de los Muertos. Muertos Film and Music Night will highlight some of the Dia de los Muertos traditions of Mexico, Central and South America. We'll screen authentic Day of the Dead short films and feature live performances by Virginia Lopez, Mariachi Portland, and more. Again, that's a film celebration of Dia de los Muertos, Thursday, October 11th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. Maybe today I should be talking about the news that you're not really supposed to think about, because there's at least two of those items that I can identify by going through the news search engines. Looking at the Google news roll, for example, I noticed that there just wasn't a whole lot of talk about the stocks being down. When I looked on my, they personalize it, and especially for someone who uses it as much as I do, it begins to reflect what you want to see and what you want to hear. So I was a little surprised to see that the stock market news was well below the fold, as they say, in the business news, and not one of the headlines at all. And so I thought, well, you know, maybe that's just the way that they've targeted me. And in a sense, it was, except the other way. when I used an incognito browser to pull up Google News not long ago, just a few minutes ago, I found that it wasn't mentioning the stock market at all. So here's the news that maybe you're not supposed to know or not really supposed to think about. The stock market is crashing. And it may not continue to crash, I don't know, but it's down, went down 800 points on the Dow yesterday. Standard & Poor is still down, went down another 0.5% already this morning. The Dow is going down. The New York Stock Exchange is down 1.3 percentage points. So, and this is happening globally. So, two things to talk about today, then, in addition to other topics, and that would be global warming, which is really obvious from the fact that we keep getting major hurricanes rather than just having a couple of very active seasons. We've had very major hurricanes, and not just in our hemisphere. There have been horrific hurricanes on the other side of the globe. So not news not to think about in that case, and the stocks. Let me talk about the stocks for a minute. And I've been doing these shows Recently, I'd say last couple months, I've been doing a lot of really heavy news items shows and haven't given you a chance to call in, so it occurs to me that I've probably conditioned you not to call in. I'm going to turn that around this time. I'd like to talk to you, take the pulse of KBOO in Cascadia. And so the number to call is 503-231-8187. Turning to BBC, U.S. stocks have opened lower. And then they wrote, before clawing back some ground, which they really haven't done now. I mean, the latest is that they're still kind of crashy. Down 0.5% from the low open. And they write, Dow Jones Index shed more than 130 points to 25 earlier today. Well, the S&P 500 and NASDAQ also fell. But the three later entered positive territory. And if you look at the charts, they're very unstable right now. They're levering back and forth. They write, earlier markets in Asia had plunged to a 19-month low. On Thursday, U.S. resident Donald Trump renewed his attacks on the Federal Reserve, which has been raising interest rates. He told Fox News Channel the Fed's policy was too aggressive and that it was making a big mistake. And on Wednesday, he said the Fed had gone crazy, prompting a response from International Monetary Fund head Christine Lagarde, who said, and I'll quote what she says, but you know, what she said was trying to be polite about the fact that the man's an idiot, but she said she would not associate Fed Chair Jerome Powell with craziness. I have to agree with her, you know, extreme greed, complete disregard for human rights, sure. Craziness, maybe not. There's some analysis on the stock fall from Nick Beams, writing in World Socialist, so I want to pass along part of that. He wrote, Wall Street experienced its biggest fall in 8 months yesterday, as major indexes dropped by more than 3% in the wake of upward movement of interest rates in the recent period. The biggest falls were in tech stocks, with the NASDAQ Composite Index down more than 4%, and its biggest drop since June 2016, following the Brexit referendum in the UK. The Standard & Poor's 500 was down 3.3%. Its biggest decline since February is down 5 days in a row, its longest losing streak since Donald Trump became president. Now, speaking for myself, another interesting thing about this is that bonds are not rising commensurate with a fall. And usually bonds rise because people say, oh, well, the stocks aren't doing well, so I'm going to put my money in the bonds, where they may not make much progress, but they'll be at least safe. That's not happening. People are, very rich people, are putting their money in cash. So what does that mean? I can't say that I actually know. Number to call, as I was saying, 503-231-8187, and Stevie Ray's on the line.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi there.
So in regards to the aspects of the stock market that people might not understand, I think a really great way for people to grasp it is that Mike Rupert movie Collapse. Remember when that came out? It's a film by Chris Smith. Mm-hmm. He describes the bumpy plateau of peak oil, and I think that's what we're looking at right now. I think if people would just start with Collapse and watch it, it would give them the big picture, so it doesn't feel so overwhelming. Financing can be, they're kind of mean. So, anyways, that's all.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks. I hope it's not too depressing, you know, considering that Mike apparently killed himself. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. So, returning to World Socialist, he writes, main factor behind the fall appears to be the spike in yields, interest rates, on U.S. Treasury bonds, which have risen sharply in recent days to above 3%. And again, speaking for myself, it doesn't sound like much, but they've been so incredibly low, and there's been so much free money in the market that people have made money by taking practically no interest money out, borrowing it at those incredibly low rates, and then getting maybe 2-3%. You borrow enough money, then that turns into money. And of course, to borrow that much money, you have to be a rich person to start. I remember one quote years ago talking about how to get the really low rates in the New York Stock Exchange. How to be an in player, well, you really needed to start, you know, the absolute minimum was $21 million. $21 million, not that you're, not your total worth, just what you could play with. Incredible. And yet that's how the masters of the universe roll there in New York and London. The amount of money that they have is really staggering, and they got it from you and me. So returning to the article again, the yield on 10-year U.S. Treasury bond hit a 7-year high of 3.26% earlier this week, reflecting the belief that the U.S. Federal Reserve will continue to lift its base rate on expectations of higher U.S. economic growth. While it is not explicitly stated, a key factor in the move by the Fed for higher interest rates is the growing push by workers in the United States for wage rises, with stagnant and falling wages a key factor in promoting the stock market boom over the past 9 years. And this is why I'm reading it from World Socialist and Beam's article, because that is the dynamic, and that is the news you're not supposed to know. You're really not supposed to think about that. You're supposed to be obedient. I noticed I got a note in my email from a spammer who was saying, look, you need to buy flowers because Boss's Day is coming up. I think it's on the 16th. And I wanted to write back. It wouldn't do any good. But I wanted to say back, hey, every day is Boss's Day. Come on. They don't need flowers. Buy their own damn flowers. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Going to repeat it a lot because, as I was saying last several times I've done the show, it's been talky, talky, talky on my behalf, and I haven't really given y'all a chance to express yourselves. 503-231-8187. In its report on the plunge, the World Socialists write, the Wall Street Journal pointed to the fact that major corporations have fueled the rise of the market with share buybacks that are present on the sidelines, reluctant to engage in further purchases in advance of the release of third quarter earning results. The newspaper reported that the S&P 500 companies have spent a staggering $380 billion on stock repurchases through the first half of this year, with Apple, Cisco, and Facebook among the most active buyers of stock. The fall on Wall Street, they write, prompted a comment from Trump on the Fed's tightening of the interest rates. Trump has continually pointed to the rise of the stock market as indicating the strength of his economic policies. I think the Fed is making a mistake, he said. They are so tight, I think the Fed has gone crazy. And speaking for myself, of course, the reason he's reacting like that is because for the very rich and their stocks, then this hurts immediately. And they don't like that. They don't like losing value on their investments. The really agile ones convert their... They have puts, as they call them. They have hedges on their bets. And when the stock market falls beyond a certain point, then it automatically goes into something else. And it's just interesting that it's going into cash instead of going into their traditional buying of bonds. Perhaps they're trying... I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what they're doing. Number to call, 503-231-8187. You can see that a couple of calls are coming in. Still have a line open if you want to talk about stocks. I am going to talk about global warming and the hurricane. That's the other thing that that's just news you're not supposed to know. You're not supposed to talk about that right now. We have very obviously, with this latest hurricane and the way that the hurricane formed, the way that it underwent what they're now calling bombification. It turned into a bomb quickly. I guess that's where they get the word. The fact that it grew into a monster, it was being predicted as a force 2 hurricane and became a force 4. And you can turn on the TV now and see those 155 mile per hour winds screaming across the landscape, shredding houses in some areas. Some of those helicopter photos show most of the houses torn to bits. Just shredded. So, and the way the news works, they'll say, well, two people have died. Well, it's very obvious that many, many more than two people have died. But you can't get the news out, and that's why you have the helicopter shots, because you can't get around. The bridges are out. The bridges are impassable at this point in many places, and so you really can't get there if you don't have a helicopter. Number to call, 503-231-8187. I'll go to the next caller.
Is that me?
Hi, Ken. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. I just called to recommend a website that I know you're going to love. It's called Wall Street on Parade, all one word.
Okay.
And if you, you'll just love it, okay? I guarantee you. Wall Street on Parade.
Well, .org or .com or what?
I have no idea. Dot okay, question mark.
Yeah, you can find it easily enough without
okay.
that.
I love your program. Bye-bye.
Well, thanks for calling in. Number to call, 503-231-8187. And Christopher's on the air.
Hey, I'm so sorry to bother you. This might be a ridiculous inquiry, but I'm in Portland and there's a My Bloody Valentine show tomorrow. They're one of my favorite bands, and I'm wondering if anyone at KBOO has tickets or if you guys have a concert. I would absolutely love to see them.
All I can say is you called the wrong number.
Oh, man.
And the number, but I can help with that, I guess. The number to call, you'll need to wait a little bit till we get someone at the desk, but the number to call is 503-231-8032. It's just like this one, but the last four digits are different. So call that number, 503-231-8032. Now, if you want to talk to me, and I'm sorry, I just don't have that information. I'd help you if I could. 503-231-8187. I'm talking about global warming, or I will be anyway, and I'm talking about the stock crash and some of the things that that means. So one of the things that I think is not mentioned in the World Socialist article is, and I'm not criticizing for this, they just don't happen to mention this, is that the access to money by the very rich has been so loose that one thing that's been going on and that has pumped the stock market higher than it even should be, it's a gambling institution that I despise, but you know, it has its own frame of what's crazy and what isn't, and way into the realm of what's crazy is buying going to the bank and taking out a loan so that you can buy stocks. This is why you can't buy scratch-its and you can't buy lottery tickets with credit. You can't. There's a rule against it. Maybe I shouldn't laugh. It's just ridiculous, though. I mean, it's just so whack. But it's going on, and people have been making big money on it, but it's pumping up the stock market in a huge, huge way, and so now it's crashing. We'll see how much it crashes. I'm going to guess from the fact that it's a wobble that's going to really knock off some of the smaller players right away. Countries like Greece and Italy that are just barely scratching along are just going to get a hell of a kick down from this. This is not a good time for them for things to be unstable. Nor is it for all of us. The last time I was talking about a stock crash was, you guessed it, 07, 08, and we're still hurting from that. And the reserves that were sucked up to keep the rich propped up from that aren't there anymore. So this is news. And Sandy's on the line, number to call 503-231, Sunny. Sunny's on the line, number to call 503-231-8187. Hi, Sunny. Hello, Sunny. KBOO to Sunny. Come in, Sunny. Okay, Sunny might want to call in again. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. My name is Teresa Mitchell. This show is called Press Watch News You're Not Supposed to Know. And it kind of sounds like we might have Sunny back. Is that right? No? Okay, not. All right. Call in with your comments and questions. Stock market crash and the hurricanes are making it really obvious that we have a global warming climate catastrophe now, not 12 years from now, right now. And so I was going to ask you a couple of provocative questions about that. I could say they're provocative. I could say I'm engaging in polemics. But I think it would be a good idea to immediately have, it's not going to happen under the Trump administration, but immediately a dollar tax on gasoline, all gasoline. Ow! Ouch, that would hurt. Oh boy, would it. But hey, there's a reason you can't buy leaded gasoline. Leaded gasoline affected the general IQ. I don't know exactly how much. But tetraethyl lead is a very powerful neurotoxin. And in places where it was measured, it was clear way back when you could buy leaded gasoline, that it was harming the intelligence of children. It was harming everyone's intelligence and everyone's health. And now you don't have a choice. You can't say, oh, I want to make sure that my gasoline's burning very smoothly, so I add lead to my gasoline. No, you can't do that. And so the reason I bring that up is because I think that we need collective measures to address climate change. And one good start, maybe not the best, maybe not the certainly not the only, would be to tax gasoline and dedicate that tax to climate remediation. Sunny, I think you're back. Are you on the air?
Yes, I'm sorry.
That's okay. What's up?
I'm an unhappy idiot, and I do idiotic things. Sorry, I was.
No, no, you be nice to Sunny.
Oh, thank you. Bless your hearts. Okay. Teresa, I was wondering what you would think about this. I brought it up on the previous show, so I'll be short. Kanye West has been appointed by Trump to help out with the terrible violence upon Chicago that is harming so many, and of course there's terrible violence across the country. Anyway, Kanye West made the video Monster, which shows us how he really feels about women and crime. He likes crime, clearly, because in the video he's sitting there in a chair, and suspended from nooses all around him are the bodies of women, and he goes on to sleep with their bodies, you know, the corpses in bed. And the song is all about predation upon women and terrorizing, particularly women that have called the police for help against the gangs and all the kind of hell that women and children are going through. And the thing about it is the fact that Trump made this appointment is a very serious menace. It could be suggesting that he's going to try to play the gangs on his side now to hold on, create disruption, chaos, and such. But the other thing, it shows that he has no sensitivity whatsoever for what the people in Chicago and elsewhere have been going through, and that he's clearly deranged and unfit. Don't you think we could push, and I'm sure that there are going to be conservatives when they figure out or take a look at this, they're going to be like, what is this? This is very strange. That maybe we can get a vote of unfitness out of this, and because there's no better example of this, this is terrible, and also what it might bode for the country and the fact that the stock market and other things are going kind of wacky, and Melania Trump was just in front of the pyramid herself with a black, long black tie on, and she was speaking against Trump. So perhaps she is trying to warn that something is up, but I don't know.
I'm starting to think she's a white supremacist, and she likes to signal it with her clothing. I mean, come on, a pith helmet, a T-shirt that says, I don't care.
Well, I think the I don't care is maybe also, was maybe a rebuff to people criticizing her all the time, so it was a way of saying, ah, F you. But still, it's a poor move, and there are many poor moves that she's made. Also, the fact that she's in front of the pyramid, and, you know, Kanye is totally in love with this pyramid and all sorts of stuff. But
that's getting into it too deep with me. I'm not qualified to talk about Kanye. I'm really sorry.
Well,
that's
know,
interesting information
look
about
at the video.
About the video, sure. Yeah, I will.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's typical Trump to send an entertainer and say, you know, fix this, instead of saying, hey, great news, we're reopening the Works Project Administration and everybody can have a living wage job in Chicago. Hooray.
Well, you know, if you were standing up there with somebody with a swastika on, we should be alarmed. But when we've got people making videos with women hanging from nooses who just recently said he supports slavery and he wants to bring back slavery because, after all, he's part of the Illuminati supremacy and all that kind of derangement, this could be
those
a
are
real...
really good points, but I have to repeat
you.
That I really just...
Yeah.
Don't know anything about it. It's just out of my expertise, and I'll have a look at that video, and thanks for calling in about that.
Thank you.
503-231-8187, talking about the stock market crash, and I'm talking about stock market crash because apparently we're being discouraged from processing this. This is something our masters are doing, and you're really not supposed to be talking about it, and I come up with that judgment from the fact that it has been so downvoted on the news, and yet it is so significant. As I was saying, the last time I was really talking about a stock market crash was before a horrific economic crash in 07 and 08, which we are still feeling the effects of, and which has a direct effect on people being on our streets, living on the sidewalk, and maybe you're listening to me with a little battery-powered radio, largely because of that crash and because of the fact that Americans have been trained to hate each other and not to make sure that we are all at least sheltered, which is an ugly, ugly thing and something we need to address. When I was in Mexico, I mean, Mexico is much poorer than the United States. I did not see people living on sidewalks. I just didn't. I went to Tepic, which is not a tourist town and doesn't have any one industry that has a gigantic flow of money, you know, like, you know, Pemex or something. It doesn't have... Fort Worth, Texas has a F-35 assembly line, pumps all kinds of money into the economy. got all kinds of people living on the sidewalk in Fort Worth, Texas, not in Topeka. Number to call 503-231-8187. And you're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. I'll go to the next caller, which the engineer had to tell me three times is Franny. Hi, Franny.
Hi. Thank you for the show. I don't know why he had to say my name three times, but...
Because I'm spacey, you know, I'm a person who hyper-focuses, you know, and so you can tell me something, especially if it's a social thing, it'll go in one ear and out the other, and so the engineers have learned to deal with me by just repeating themselves. There's nothing else you can do. If I'm going to do the show, they have to help me. So, hi, Franny, what's up?
That's your only flaw. I think you're amazing. Thank you for both of these topics today. Of course, they're probably related in some way, but what I want to talk about is... you know, what I feel like there's always this sort of grand plan behind what the establishment does, especially in this country. I mean, I think that you have to sort of engage in conspiracy to be, you know, to get around in the world today.
Well, sure. I mean, it happens. And there's a reason boardrooms have doors that close, as Michael Parenti has pointed out.
Exactly. So... what do you think, in your opinion, what is the plan B for the establishment and the one percenters for, because surely, you know, they're not all morons. I mean, 45 is obviously a, you know, a dimwit, but a lot of them are, you know, smart enough to know that, we have 12 years till utter catastrophe, climate catastrophe in this world. So what is their plan B, in your opinion? I mean, do they have some biosphere up on some other planet? I mean, what do you think they're... because they, like I say, I mean, they're not all stupid. They must have some escape hatch for themselves.
Okay, well, to answer that, I have to speak very generally, of course. Yeah. And very generally, quite a few of the inheritance class are lazy and stupid in the sense that they don't have to understand the system. And they don't bother to. If you have enough money, if you have that $21 million to play with, as I was saying, you can pay someone to invest it for you. You can, you know, just look up who's got the best ratings and invest it with that person. You'll probably do very well. This does not require brains. And so when it comes to their plans for dealing with the hell that global warming is bringing down on us right now, it's to be rich, because if you're rich, then you have all kinds of flexibility. You can build a bunker in the town you're at, and you can move to Cozumel. You can do whatever the hell you want because you have millions and millions of dollars and maybe billions. So, right. And by and large,
I mean,
they
I'm
don't have a plan.
About the idiots out there.
Yeah, okay.
I'm talking about the ones who actually understand but pretend not to.
Okay, the Dick Cheneys.
Yes, say.
Dick Cheney changed his citizenship, and he is now a citizen of. It's not United Arab Emirates. It's Dubai. He's a citizen of Dubai.
And, oh, really?
Yeah. I think maybe because he realizes that there is a possibility that at some point people are going to realize what he actually did on September 11th, 2001. He and Rumsfeld and Wolfowitz and Bush. And so the super rich, they have a bunker mentality, and they have their bunkers, literally. Super rich buy old nuclear preparation bunkers under mountains. And they have access through their connections with the government to the government bunkers that are all over Virginia and D.C. and Maryland. That's one thing. Another, a long-term thing that the super rich are looking at, and it's not really that very long-term, because it's already here, is going entirely off-planet with nuclear rockets. The Russians are already using a fission-powered nuclear rocket, hypersonic missile, and it works quite reliably, and those things are so much more powerful than the rockets we're using right now that they will actually make this possible. I know it's mind-bending, but we're closer to it than people think. That's the way they're thinking. I wouldn't recommend that. But that's the kind of bunker. I mean, their bunker can be anywhere. Their bunker can be in orbit. So, they're making plans for the fact that the world is being screwed, and they don't have to worry about it. I mean, their air conditioning is going to stay on. They're going to have the cash to have the the backups and the batteries and the solar panels and whatever they need to keep the power on, and their air filtered and if need be oxygenated, they'll be fine. The 1%. It's the rest of us are planning to, they're planning to off. So that brings me to what we want to do. And I, when I say we, I'm really talking about a rebellion, an outbreak of democracy, which is the last thing they want to see. Is if there's one thing that terrifies the elite that run this country, it's an outbreak of democracy. That would be contingent on people actually understanding what is happening to them and who is doing it to them. So that's what I want to see. And their plans are pretty much the same as they've always been. We'll depopulate ourselves if we don't twig to the fact that we need to act against the elites. Still there? Maybe not. Okay, number to call, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. Returning to the comments by World Socialist World's website, which I have been pumping for months now because they've been downvoted. There's several websites that have been downvoted by the search engines, by Google and Facebook and social media, effectively costing them tens of thousands and more dollars and making them disappear. So WSWS.org is one of those things. I have problems with WSWS.org. I don't need to line them all out. I just want to say that I am critical of them, and there are some things that they miss. This is not one of them. Their analysis of the stock market is pretty darn good. But they also shouldn't be censored, and that effectively is what is happening. Truth Dig is being censored. Counterpunch is being censored. By which I mean, if you remember, and all of the things that flash across your screen, that you once pulled up that website and you punch it in specifically, you can still pull it up, but it won't be suggested to you by the search engines that suggest everything else to you. Everything from, you know, from porn to the latest cartoon shows is going to be suggested to you long before you see any mention ever of Counterpunch and WSWS.org and InTheseTimes.org and Alternet.org and all of the left websites are being downvoted now. They want to say that they're being fair and they're downvoting the ultra-right websites too, but that's a false equivalency. Very false. So I'm talking about the fact that the stock market is crashing, and it's wobbling a lot. It crashed some yesterday. It's going to crash a lot more, I do believe, because of the international blowback. So I'm interested to know what you think about that. And also want to get around to, now that it's 9:31, almost 9:32, I want to get around to talking about Hurricane Michael and the fact that it and all the other super hurricanes are making it very obvious that the global climate catastrophe is upon us. What do you want to do about it? So I'll go to the caller. Pear is on. Hi, Pear.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning to you.
Well, I'm just thinking, if, you know, if the rich want to go live in outer space, I think we should encourage them.
Yeah. Yeah, really. I mean, yeah, head for Mars, go on.
I mean, like these, you know, if they want to live in a bunker, who's going to grow their food? I mean, somebody's got to do the work, you see. And so if they want to go to outer space, well, we take the Earth and see if we can bring it back to life the way it used to be, and that might be the solution.
At least it's got a freaking atmosphere.
Pardon me?
At least it's got a freaking atmosphere.
Well, I know. I mean, geez, I mean, you go live in Mars. I think what happens is you live in Mars long enough, your bones start kind of fall apart or something like that.
Yeah, we didn't evolve to live on Mars, and I think the whole idea is pretty screwy. But I just bring it up because, you know, someone asked, what are the rich planning on doing? And I was just like, anything and everything. They don't care. They have the power to do whatever works, you know. So as long as we allow ourselves to be ruled by these super rich, you know, they're not going to tell us the truth. They're not going to take action on these global catastrophes because they will evade them. I mean, they and their family would be just fine.
I don't think they really know. I mean, you sort of touched on this before, is that, you know, the rich are smart in a more like matter of cunning, but you know, when it comes to real wisdom or intelligence, I don't think they have it. You know, they really believe that money can kind of, money can do a lot, but it can't do everything. Can't revive a dead earth. You know, I mean, it's the economy, which is apparently crashing or kind of bumping down the stairs. It's, you know, the economy really runs on energy. It doesn't run on money.
Yeah, the richest people are not the smartest people. I think if Neil deGrasse Tyson or Michio Kaku suddenly found themselves obsessively amassing billions of dollars, they'd go see a therapist because they'd realize that they had become monomaniacs and megalomaniacs.
Oh, yeah, they got therapists who deal with the problems of the rich.
Yeah.
One of them seems to be a lack of self-esteem because they think nobody likes them for themselves because they are rich. So this money kind of stands in the way of real relationships. But the thing about, you see the economy crashing now. The economy really runs on energy, and our energy is slowly, slowly running out. You know, this fracking boom is sort of built on sand, fracking sand maybe, and injections of money. It's not sustainable, and it's sort of slowly petering out, and I think that's why the economy is slowly petering out.
Well, the world socialists agree with you. They write, the IMF report warned that as central banks withdraw monetary accommodation, financial conditions have tightened. This could, quote, expose fragilities in the financial system, end quote, that have emerged since the global finance crisis. And one of the fragilities last time around was the subprime housing that was worth actually nothing, in which they had bound, as they are doing now with other commodities, they had bound into collateralized debt obligations into snake oil and sold at very high prices, and then it turned out the snake oil was worth nothing. Everything crashed, and here we are.
One last thought. I really can't believe that the economy is doing that well, is doing as well as some of these people say it is. It's I think the figures are kind of cooked, and when you have apparently you have something like a million millionaires or a million billionaires or whatever, and you have more and more people sleeping in the streets. That's got to tell you something.
I think you're right. Yeah, I mean, what does it mean when they say the economy? They're formulating it as what are the very richest, and then they average it out to all of the rest of us who don't matter and who don't affect the numbers that much. Well, how are the very richest doing? Well, that's not the question. The question is, how's the society doing? And I look on the sidewalks and I see that it's doing horribly.
Mm-hmm. Well, like they say, if we're sitting in a bar. And Bill Gates walks in, immediately our average income rises considerably.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll leave it at that. But anyway, talk to you later.
Thanks for calling in. Okay, now I want to add to this discussion. And by the way, you can call in 503-231-8187. We'll talk about what is not being talked about. Well, it's really obvious that the hurricanes show that the global warming disaster is here now, and there are articles if you search for that. There's an article in by Mike McCrae. Well, darn, I didn't put the website on. Okay, now you get to find it under the title "We're Going to Die in Record Numbers as Heat Waves Bake the World: First Global Study Shows." By Mike McCrae, and whoops, didn't put the website on it. Anyway, he wrote, mounting science is painting a very bleak picture of a future of soaring temperatures and the accompanying death toll those soaring temperatures will demand. New research has given us the first solid prediction of how more heat waves, like the one that struck Europe this year, will affect future death rates. Finding tropical heat waves in some areas could one day send the mortality rate skyrocketing by as much as 2,000%. If you're wondering what 2,000% is, it is by 20 times. 20 times as many people dying in a heat wave. And as you recall, when we have a really severe heat wave, hundreds of people in a city can die. Last month in Montreal, he wrote, as temperatures climb, bodies overheat and the chance of harsh environmental conditions such as smog go up. Neither is good for our health, and frequent summer heat waves can be too much for some people to bear. In July in Montreal, the deaths of 70 people were blamed on a rise in temperatures. As global warming makes these kinds of weather events more common, it's important to consider the toll it would take on our health. So just doing the basic math, that would be 1,400 people dead as opposed to 70, which is bad enough. And so there's more on that article, and you'll have to find it with heat wave. You'll have to look it up in the search engine that way. But now talking about Hurricane Michael, which if you look to the news coverage, the actual devastation of Hurricane Michael is very much in the news. So that's not news you're not supposed to know. They'll show you that right away because it's quite dramatic and it sells trucks. But the global warming behind it is not being talked about. But before I go into the next article, which is from Think Progress by Joe Rahm, I will go to the next caller, and Mike is on the air. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi,
hello.
What's up?
Yeah, where did you get the information that Dick Cheney is not a citizen of the United States?
That's just something I remember from years ago when he got a Dubai citizenship.
Yeah, but he doesn't have Dubai citizenship. He is a citizen of the United States. It's, you know, I enjoy KBOO some, but a lot of the, you guys, and a lot of the morning shows spread a lot of false information.
No, that's true. I'll back that up. There's no problem with that. He, in fact, got his citizenship in Dubai, and the fact that you deny it doesn't change it.
Well, the fact that you say it doesn't mean it.
Well, then look it up.
If you can't even,
I guess you'll have to put it in a search engine, and I encourage everyone to put that in a search engine, and you will find the fact that, in fact, Dick Cheney got his citizenship in Dubai.
I put it in a search engine. Why don't you?
Well, I did. That's how I got the information.
When?
Well, I can't say. It's been a while.
Okay, I just put it in a search engine. It's not there. It says he's a citizen of the United States. It's kind of garbage that KBOO sometimes.
No, it's not garbage just because you can't find it looking into a search engine. I, in fact, have quite a bit of experience using search engines in ways that they were not intended to be used, and I'll bet I can find that information.
Okay, you're smarter than everybody.
I'm better at that than you, probably.
Throw this out there. Oh, you don't know that.
It's just offensive to you. I mean, that's why you called in. You don't like the fact that Dick Cheney is absolutely disloyal to the people of the United States.
I actually want real change and not garbage conspiracy or just false information spread out that a lot of cases.
Well, then tune in to Press Watch every week because you'll get the straight up and the straight skinny. And now you're just being contentious. And so there's really no reason to talk to you because I don't enjoy getting in fights and shouting over each other. So goodbye. The number to call 503-231-8187. And the topic, the intensification of hurricanes. Joe Rahm writes in Think Progress, if it seemed like the rapid intensification of Hurricane Michael into a Category 4 storm caught forecasters by surprise, that's because it did. On Sunday evening, the Tallahassee Democrat warned residents, destructive Michael on track to bring Category 2 hurricane fury to North Florida. The same day, forecasters at Weather Underground also predicted Michael would be Category 2 at landfall. What's driving that intensification? He writes, Michael is traveling over unusually warm waters thanks to climate change. And the quote is, once again, we see a storm undergoing extreme rapid intensification over unusually warm ocean waters, end quote. And that's a quote from climatologist Michael Mann. And he told that to Think Progress. A further quote, we saw this pattern last year with Harvey and earlier this year with Florence and now with my namesake Michael, end quote. Due to this swift development, Mann added, quote, once again, the people in the storm's path may not have had enough lead time to prepare for what is now likely to landfall as a Category 4 monster. So that is the global warming that I'm talking about. And I do recall looking at the sea surface temperatures because that is what gave away the fact that Katrina back in 05 was going to be so big as it went across the Gulf when the waters are quite warm. And here we have a hurricane traveling north across the, as it did a couple days ago, traveling north across the Gulf of Mexico and picking up quite a bit of heat, and that in October towards the end of the hurricane season. So Hurricane Michael, Hurricane Florence, the hurricanes that flooded, the hurricane that flooded Houston last year, all of these, and Hurricane Maria that hit Puerto Rico, and that with the denial of recovery funds and efforts, devastating that island and making it ripe for investors in a few years to come in and get land cheap. That sort of thing is very much pointing to climate disaster being here now. So the number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. It's funny that I would get challenged on something that I recall and don't have actually a screen in front of me to challenge it back. That's the way it worked out today. One computer is down and the other one's sitting in my car trunk right now. So we'll just have to come back with that next week if I'm feeling contentious enough. Maybe I won't bother. Talking about global warming and also talking about the fact that the stock market is crashing in the United States and around the world. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Talking about the fragility that is being exposed by this stock market. So far, it's just a wobble. I think it may well turn into a crash. Returning to World Socialists, in a speech delivered earlier this month, International Monetary Fund Managing Director Christine Lagarde noted that global debt, both public and private, has now reached an all-time high of $182 trillion, 60% greater than in 2007. This left governments and companies more vulnerable to tightening of financial conditions. If such tightening were to rapidly accelerate, it could lead to market corrections, that in scare quotes, sharp exchange rate movements, and a weakening of capital flows. The IMF has estimated that under such conditions, emerging markets, excluding China, could face a debt portfolio outflow of up to $100 billion, an amount equivalent to that in the financial crisis 10 years ago. That alone, she said, should serve as a wake-up call. Yesterday's fall on Wall Street and the somewhat frantic response of the White House may be another indication of the underlying instability of the financial system. That is from WSWS.org, World Socialist. And very much recommend you check out that site and other left sites that are being downvoted by Google, Facebook, and other social media. Number to call, 503-231-8187, with your comments and questions. From The Guardian, there's no such thing as a Category 6 hurricane or tropical storm yet. The highest level, the top of the scale for the most powerful, most devastating hurricane or tropical storm capable of destroying entire cities like New Orleans or New York, is a Category 5 storm. And speaking for myself, the winds at 155 mile per hour of the storm, pardon me, that just hit northern Florida were just shy of Category 5. So it actually could have been worse under that category system. It is worthwhile pulling up the news and looking at what those winds do. It's really a vicious hurricane. They write, meteorologists and scientists never imagined that there would be a need for a Category 6 storm with winds that exceed 200 miles per hour on a sustained basis, sweeping away everything in its path. Until now, such a storm wasn't possible, so there was no need for a category above Category 5. Right now, however, there is anywhere from 5 to 8% more water vapor circulating through the atmosphere than there was a generation ago. This, combined with warmer temperatures that are driving water up from the deep ocean in places where hurricanes typically form, has created the potential for superstorms that we haven't seen before and aren't really prepared for. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, and I'll go to the caller. Hi, Susanna, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I am glad that I hear everybody finally talking about climate change. I hear it a lot now, and I think people really get it. And I think now we need to talk about what each individual can be doing.
Now that's interesting. Go ahead. I do want to talk about that.
Yes, thank you. Turning down the heat, putting on warm clothes, practicing everything we can do to get to carbon neutral, because it really needs to go from bottom up, because the top-ranked people have shown absolutely no desire to change anything. And here on the coast, there are many of us who are trying to preserve trees. The corporate timberland practice is releasing carbon instead of carbon capturing, as their promos all say. And these trees are so small, they're pressuring state forests to cut all down their big trees, which state forestry is doing, but they're kind of in a bind. But in any way, we can do it. And I know you promote mass transit, and just everything every individual can do in any way possible to really move forward from the ground up.
What do you think of a dollar tax going up to a $3 tax on each gallon of gasoline dedicated to climate remediation?
I think anything except, I mean, it would depend on where the tax went. And the other problem is that I don't think it would pass.
What do you think of overthrowing the system?
Well, it's crumbling.
Yeah, maybe with a good push it'll go over.
It is. No, I mean, it's toppling. You, on the stock market, you didn't mention the derivative market, which is totally insane. But I don't want people to get too anxious over the stock market and the economics, because it is as it is. And it does make people really anxious. And we need to stay, in all of this, we really need to stay focused and centered and care for one another.
I don't think that we could possibly get away from the absolute climate disaster without stopping the flow of petroleum, without actually shutting down the refineries. And so I don't think there's anything wrong with restraint. I don't think that it will stop the catastrophe. I think the only thing that can stop the catastrophe is shutting the system down. And I don't know what the chances are of that, but I want to try.
I'm with you. I think the system is disintegrating. That's why I think we all, from the bottom up, need to really be doing everything we can. We need to have things in place as it disintegrates.
Yeah. Well, I'm not for chaos and violence. I'm for collective decision making. And I wonder, well, one thing that was really encouraging to me was watching Michael Moore's Fahrenheit 11/9, and he had, at some point, he had on-screen phrases which showed what percentage of the population was actually for some a whole series of what we would consider relatively left ideas, like free college and free medical care and limitations on wealth. And I think, but a whole list, I think there were like five or six lists. And his conclusion was, this nation is a bunch of leftists, but we're being suppressed. The majority is being kept down. And it took that, it took him saying it and phrasing it in that way and putting it up on the screen in front of me for me to think, yeah, that's actually true. I mean, we don't agree on everything, but we're so far to the left of the way we're being governed. And all of those things are individually repressed by none other than the elite that want to keep control of us and keep things rolling their way. So, yeah, I think that there's a possibility of moving forward rapidly. Well, I guess the majority has to kind of recognize itself. We have to see that we really do all want change. Most of us in the United States want change. It's 10 and till the top of the hour. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, and just to be right, there will be times when suddenly it's very clear that right, you know, kind of sees the moment of a positive step, something to do, and it's coming. And just to be, they say, don't get overly stressed. Just take care of each other, love one another, and be as positive you can in every movement you can. In changing a new reality in whatever way, and support, whether, you know, politics in the very moment in time and getting good people elected is what's happening in the next 4 weeks, and just everything going forward.
Okay, well, thank you for your opinion. And the number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. I think that this country has an anemic deficiency of, a pernicious anemic deficiency of pitchfork-bearing mobs. But I think that it takes information, and more than that, it takes leadership and gestalt of information for a group of people to understand which direction to move. When it comes to a murmuration of birds, they do it very well by watching each other. Murmuration being that cloud of birds that moves in fascinating and seemingly unpredictable ways to avoid predators, to confuse predators. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Going back to global warming and the fact that the disaster is on us now, currently in the form of hurricanes, earlier this year in the form of mega fires, just before that in the form of deadly heat waves. Quoting the forecaster and weather analyst Jeff Masters, he has begun to wonder publicly about the potential for a Category 6 hurricane. He launched a lively debate, actually I'm quoting Jeff Nesbitt writing about Masters, among his colleagues with a provocative post in July of 2016 on the Weather Underground, a thought-provoking piece that prompted the Weather Channel and others to weigh in with their thoughts and theories as well. And the quote is, a black swan hurricane, a storm so extreme and wholly unprecedented that no one could have expected it, hit the Lesser Antilles Islands on October 1780. It's a quote he said also, deservedly called the Great Hurricane of 1780. No Atlantic hurricane in history has matched its death toll of 22,000. So intense were the winds of the Great Hurricane that it peeled the bark off trees, something only EF5 tornadoes with winds in excess of 200 miles per hour have been known to do, end quote. Masters then made the startling claim that such a black swan hurricane was not only possible now, but almost certain to occur more than once. And speaking for myself, that sort of thing is derived from the fact, A, that it's happened before, and B, that there is more energy in the water and in the water that is in the air. There is, as I mentioned before, there is more moisture in the air because of this heating. Everything working in on itself. This is why you can see that the climate disaster is happening now. He said that such storms should more properly be called gray swan hurricanes because the emerging science clearly shows that such bark-stripping megastorms are nearly certain to start appearing. And number to call, 503-231-8187. I'll go to the caller. Jamila is on the air.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking the call.
My pleasure.
I just would like to quickly advocate for less car usage, not having cars, carpooling, busing.
So what do you think of the unleaded gas approach? In other words, making it happen by making gasoline more expensive and dedicating that money to climate remediation?
I just say get rid of the cars. I'm not worried about... I mean, we don't need to do the gasoline either, and such quantities. There's so many millions of us.
How, though? How to bring about that change?
How to stop having cars?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's why I'm putting my voice on the air.
Okay.
Just to let people think about it. I haven't had a car since the 2002, and I haven't had a day of regret.
Have you ever... gone to Fred Meyer's and gotten a big old load of groceries for your three kids on a bicycle?
Well, I can hear that. I understand. But it has to do with giving some thought to where you live, how close the stores are. You know, it takes a lot of thought. And I don't need stuff that I need to go pile in my car and bring home all the time, that kind of stuff. I shop in the neighborhood.
Okay, well, you are at least the second person to call in recommending essentially discipline and restraint on the individual. And that's an interesting concept. There may be some way to make that happen. There is a percentage of the population that will always take that extra step. There are people who come in to KBOO every day who just, you know, won't get in a car unless they absolutely have to. I admire that. My opinion is I don't think it can work, and so that's why I'm pushing the... I mean, it can't work fast enough. So that's why I'm pushing the big solutions like a tax, a shock tax, really, immediately, rising to $2 a gallon, and with exceptions for, like, farmers and other people who, you know, need to have discounted gasoline. That wouldn't apply to them, or maybe they would even get a subsidy. But I want collective awakening and collective measures because the disaster is here now, is my point. And
I agree with you.
I appreciate you calling in.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling in. Getting towards the top of the hour now, so I'll wrap up with a little bit more information about the possibility of Category 6 hurricane. It's, you know, it's on the agenda somewhere in our fates, and that... I want you to think of that Category 6. That's over 200 miles per hour. Go to a screen, look at your YouTube or your television, however you get your news, and look at those winds coming in at a sustained 150 miles per hour in places, and see what it has done to all those neighborhoods. The death toll will go up very sharply over the next couple of days as the information gets in. Won't go up sharply in the next, you know, 5 minutes, but it'll go up sharply. Within 3 days, you'll see that a great number of people have died because of this hurricane. The winds are terrifying, horrific. They crushed houses like bugs. Some places, most of the houses are gone. And that's without talking about the storm surge. And returning to the information about saying that these 200-mile-per-hour plus hurricanes are no longer improbable, Masters based his bold prediction on research by two of the best hurricane scientists in the world, Kerry Emanuel of MIT and Ning Lin of Princeton, who published the most detailed hurricane model in history in August 2015. Emanuel and Lin's hurricane model was embedded with 6 different worldwide climate models routinely run by supercomputers. And speaking again for myself, when you see those hurricane tracks trying to predict where a hurricane will go, you're talking about, you're looking at supercomputer results. Masters based his bold prediction, they write, I already read that part. The term black swan, they write, is a metaphor for a high consequence event that comes as a surprise. Some high consequence events that are unobserved and unanticipated may nevertheless be predictable, they write, in nature climate change. Such events may be referred to as gray swans or sometimes perfect storms. Unlike truly unpredicted and unavoidable black swans, which can be dealt with only by fast reaction and recovery, gray swans, though also novel and outside experience, can be better foreseen and systematically prepared for. So this brings up another question, which we now don't have time to address, and that is, what's worse? Mass death from heat waves, fires, and superstorms, or global engineering? I really don't know the answer. So I'll leave that for you to think about. You've been listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. Coming up at the top of the hour, more of our different programming. I think you'll want to stay tuned. I think you'll be glad that you did. And so you've been listening on 90.7 and other frequencies broadcast across Cascadia on the terrestrial radio and via KBOO.FM to all the ships at sea.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the film screening of Mother, Daughter, Sister on Saturday, October 13th from 4 to 6 p.m. at Cinema 21 in Portland. Mother, Daughter, Sister exposes the Burmese military's practice of using rape as a weapon of war. Testimonies from survivors, witnesses, and activists explore the far-reaching impact of sexual violence upon women and communities as they call for justice and a unified stand for an end to impunity. A panel discussion will follow the film and includes the filmmaker and local community leaders and activists. Again, that's Mother, Daughter, Sister on Saturday, October 13th from 4 to 6 p.m. at Cinema 21, 616 Northwest 21st Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO